Welcome to our teaching for today. Please be patient with our audio. Enjoy the so many things that God has provided for us. The Bible teaches us that we are to thank God for what He has provided. Deuteronomy 8:10 NKJV says, "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you." When you pray like this for your food on a regular basis, you put God in His proper place in your life and respect Him as the Creator. Many people bless their food, but the Bible wants us to thank God for being our provider. We need to recognize this and to recognize that He has also given us His good commandments for life. Psalms 1:1-3 NKJV says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Imagine you have some trees on your property that you need for the fruit so that you will have enough to eat. You look forward to the rain that God provides so that you will have lots of fruit, and you watch for the trees to flower and are hopeful for a bountiful harvest. Every year you look forward to what God has provided for you. God's commandments are similar to the trees that provide life for us. We can count on God's commandments to provide the truths for life each and every year, just like the tree that is planted by the water. God provides all because He is the Creator God. He provides what we need to live on, and also, how we need to live. Deuteronomy 8:3 NKJV points this out, "So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." Just like we need what God has provided for our physical well-being, we need God's commandments for life. Stay in God's light where the worldly dust clears away. When people in the Bible would mourn for a disaster of some kind, they would sometimes tear their clothes and throw dust on themselves, see Joshua 7:6. This was a reminder of their mortality. Perhaps the beginning of mankind sometimes comes to mind when we think of dust in the account of creation. In the Bible, dust defines the mortality of mankind. Genesis 2:7 NKJV says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Then in Genesis 3:19 NKJV it says, "For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." The return to dust is the result of Adam and Eve's sin. Adam and Eve were originally immortal, but they sinned and did not listen to God. Rather than hold all of mankind accountable, God made it so that each person has a choice whether they would follow God and do what is right or do things their own way. It was by the sin of Adam and Eve that mankind faces mortality, and it is sin that keeps us from a relationship with God. Isaiah 59:2 NKJV says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you." So just like Adam and Eve were separated from God and had to leave the Garden of Eden, those who live in sin are separated from God by their own decision to disobey God. 1 John 2:3-4 NKJV says, "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Those who say they believe in God, but do not keep His commandments, are lying to us about their relationship with God. They think they are okay with God by just believing in Him, but they are not. Even the devil believes in God. James 2:18-19 NKJV says, "I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." The devil believes in God, and the devil's spirits are going to the lake of fire. Revelation 20:10 NKJV says, "The devil, who deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone." As believers, we do not want to live like this life is all there is. We trust in a good God who gives us good commandments and has also provided the Holy Spirit for us through the Messiah Yeshua. We do not want to live in just worldly dust, but we trust in God, our Creator and Provider, who promises us eternal life. The nonsense that God accepts those who sin. Some say that a good God would not keep anyone from His good future kingdom. I once heard a story about a man who survived the killing of his wife and children and the rape of his daughter by escaping from his house. If you were the one who had to experience the terrible pain and loss caused by this callous killer, would you give the murderer a pass to God's kingdom? God must hold everyone accountable. God has given us each the choice on how we will live. Those that do evil must be held accountable for their actions. A good God would not leave those who inflict pain and evil without any consequences. He will accomplish this through a future time of judgment. After the judgment, those who do evil will go to the lake of fire, and those who follow our all-knowing God's good commandments will inherit God's future kingdom. In the Torah, when believers were gathered to his people, it was an idiom for the eternal life that is promised to believers who follow our good God. See Genesis 15:15, 25:17, 25:39, 47:30, 49:33. It is not about being buried together, because when Jacob dies, he was gathered to his people, and then was later buried. Genesis 49:33 NKJV says, "And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed and breathed his last, and was gathered to his people." The resurrection was common knowledge in Old Testament times. 1 Samuel 2:6-8 NKJV says, "He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich, he brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory." People die, but there will be a future resurrection and judgment. The people who kept God's good commandments looked forward to the glory that would come. That is what Daniel is talking about in Daniel 12:2-3 NKJV says, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." This is also talked about in the New Testament portion. See 1 Corinthians 5:9-10 NKJV says, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." The word seat in this verse is the Greek word bema, and is the word used by Jews to describe where the Torah is read even to this day. We will be judged by God's commandments. It makes sense that a good God gave us good commandments. When we follow his commandments, we are doing good. See Deuteronomy 6:17-18. Those who do what is bad will go to the lake of fire. Shaul makes it his aim to please God, so he will not go to the lake of fire. We please God by following God's good commandments. We read that sin separates us from God. So, stay in God's light and do not return to sin and in the earthly dust of a life where those who sin wallow in their sin. Proverbs 26:11 says, "As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly." Let God be part of all you do and allow God to help you. We talk about this on a consistent basis because God is supposed to be in our life on a daily basis and in all of life. For example, does the software that is part of our tablets or computers at some point operate on its own without the tablet or computer? That would be like rain having a mind of its own. The rain does not think on its own. Since God created us, we could say that every part of us was developed by God and that doing things God's way is what is best. Isaiah 43:21 NKJV says, "This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise." God formed us, and it is now our job to declare who our God is by our lives. Since God formed us and knows how we should operate, when we keep his commandments, we are doing what is right and what is best for life. Deuteronomy 13:18 NKJV says, "Keep all his commandments which I command you today, to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord your God." I remember when I first learned to ride a bicycle. My dad kept urging me on to move the front wheel slightly back and forth and keep moving forward until I was able to balance the bicycle. My dad then told me to practice, and in no time, I was riding my bicycle. My dad knew how to ride a bicycle, and he imparted that knowledge to me. In the same way, God imparted instructions on how to live, and we need to begin doing them, so we learn how to live right. When we do not follow God's instructions, we are not following the instruction manual for life. Proverbs 3:7-8 NKJV says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, and strength to your bones." Not following what God says is evil and wrong because we were not designed for that. God's ways bring strength and health for life because they are good ways. So, we need to put God's commandments into practice, so we are ready to do them always. Make God so part of your life that it becomes natural. I remember when I first tried to put a basketball into the basket. It took me some time just to get the ball high enough so that it would go in. I kept practicing though. It took a lot of practice on my part to get the ball in the basket on a consistent basis. My dad taught me to try to make a number of shots in a row. I started with 5 shots and then 10 shots and so on. I understand that basketball teams now have automatic ball returns so that the players can shoot 200 shots every day at every position. Imagine how automatic their shot can become. In the same way, keep God's commandments in mind for life so that we do them over and over and they become automatic. Hebrews 5:14 NKJV says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Do not stay a baby spiritually. Grow up." When Shabbat comes, I automatically resist working and I relax. When tempted with any sin, I automatically resist the temptation and put that thought out of my mind. We should not dwell on temptation. We need to resist those thoughts. We all have temptations, but sin occurs when we begin to consider that temptation and do not correct our thinking. Proverbs 7:25-27 NKJV says, "Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways, do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death." We need to correct our intentions everywhere we go and in everything we do. Remember, God knows our intentions and what we are willing to get away with. In Genesis 6:5 NKJV it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." The people back then were evil and allowed their intentions to lead them, so they did evil. James 1:14-15 says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not let your thinking get out of hand. Make the decision now that you will keep God's good commandments which are able to give us life." God has provided so much for us physically and He has also given us His good commandments. We need to be thankful for all God has done for us. Do what is right and good so the worldly dust does not blind us from the truth of God's light. Make God to be in every part of your life so that His commandments can work in you effectively. Our life should naturally show others that we have a good, peaceful, and caring God. Keeping our life in line with God's commandments helps us to maintain the direction we need to take in life and have a purposeful life. We look forward to a future kingdom of the good things God will provide. Talking about the future kingdom, Revelation 21:21 NKJV says, "And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass." It is going to be an amazing time in the future kingdom. We will now begin our Torah teaching. The name of this portion is Yitro. Yitro means, Jethro. This portion begins by saying that Yitro, the father-in-law of Moshe, heard about what God had done and he brings Moshe's sons and wife to him. Perhaps Moshe did this to keep them safe. We all have to make sacrifices sometimes in life. Moshe bows low to Yitro. He could have come as a king to Yitro but instead decides to show Yitro honor and respect. Children should take Moshe as an example and show respect to them. It is one of the 10 commandments. Yitro rejoices at the kindness of God and blesses God, Baruch Hashem, for delivering them from the Egyptians. Yitro confesses that the God of Israel is the true God. He becomes a believer. Moshe, the leaders of Israel, and Yitro make a sacrifice to God and eat together. Yitro sees Moshe administering all the judgments and he tells Moshe that he needs to set up a justice system and hear only the difficult cases. Moshe is judging the people by God's commandments. Exodus 18:16 NKJV says, "When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws." Moshe listened to Yitro and must have set up a teaching system. Yitro goes back home. Listening to advice. Those who are more successful in life often listen to others' advice. For example, for legal matters, I get the advice of a lawyer. For carpentry work, I find someone who knows how to do carpentry. Be open to what others say and do not be offended by what they say. Allow others to contribute their thoughts. Find people you can trust, who respect God, and are not seeking to gain something. See Exodus 18:21. Even learn from people who do not like you. Examine what they have to say to see if it is valid. Do not take what these people have to say too hard. I remember hearing a story of a communist dictator who did not listen to others, which is true of most communist dictators. There was a shortage of food because some of the crops failed, so one of his leaders told him about it and he had him imprisoned for sedition and murdered. Because he did not listen to others, many people in his country died of starvation at that time. Moshe then goes up to the mountain and God calls to him and God tells him what he is to say to Israel. If they keep his commandments, they will be a kingdom of priests for God. Exodus 19:5-6 NKJV says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." God cares about us. God instilled a caring nature into us. We are created in God's image, and we have the ability to be caring people. God gave each of us a chance to believe in his goodness and keep his good commandments. He offers those who want to follow his good ways eternal life, and we decide whether to accept what is good and be in his future kingdom or do evil. If we obey God, we can be his treasured people and be part of his future kingdom. God did not give them a caste system where only some were to be the privileged. Anyone can learn God's commandments and keep them and be treasured by God. To be holy is to separate ourselves from evil and be a good people who keep God's commandments. Deuteronomy 28:9 NKJV says, "The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God." Moshe tells the people what God told him, and the people agree to obey God. Kepha refers to this verse from Exodus in 1 Peter 2:9 NKJV, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." God has not changed. His people can still be God's holy people. Isn't that great? If you want to be close to God, believe in him, keep his commandments, and accept the Messiah Yeshua and the gift of the Holy Spirit. God tells Moshe that God will speak to him and the people. The people were not to touch the mountain until the shofar sounds, and they were to prepare for their meeting with God by washing their clothes. Washing their clothes must be symbolic. We are to be a clean people, from sin, who are not stained by sin. God then gave them the Ten Commandments. The people prepared to meet with God. As believers in Yeshua, we can meet with God every day because we have the Holy Spirit. Some people are very lax about their relationship with God and do not keep God's commandments. The Bible says we are to take God's commandments seriously. Hebrews 10:29-30 NKJV says, "Of how much worse punishment, do you suppose, will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' Decide you will honor God and keep his commandments. It is not hard." Deuteronomy 30:11 NIV says, "Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach." Those that say it is too hard are not telling the truth. The Bible says it is not hard. The thousands of extra minuscule man-made laws that we do not have to keep are too hard to keep. Christianity and Judaism has added and changed God's commandments in some instances. Some of these man-made laws are against God's commandments. On the third day Moshe brought the people to the mountain, and there was thunder and lightning, a thick smoke, and a shofar kept blasting louder and louder. God called Moshe up the mountain, and God also told Moshe to tell the people that no one was to go up the mountain after Moshe and Aharon. Then God, Yehovah, gives the people the 10 words, 10 commandments. Yehovah is God's name as seen pointed in 2,363 different manuscripts. Yehovah is used over 6,000 times in the Bible. Exodus 3:15 NKJV says, "The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." Lord in all caps is the Hebrew word Yehovah. If someone gave you their name, would you purposely never use their name? The 10 commandments are then given. There are more than 10 commandments, but even doing these can be life-changing. For example, if people decided not to murder and not want what others have, covet, there would be fewer wars. These commandments are important, so learn them. In ancient times, commands that came from the king were often to make sure the king got what he wanted. God's commandments are not given to us so God gets his way, but to help mankind. That speaks to the validity of the Torah and God as the Creator. Our Creator God wants to help mankind and not impose his will on us. Let's take the time to read Exodus 23-17 NKJV, the 10 commandments. The first commandment. Verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." The second commandment. Verses 4-6, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. 5. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, 6. But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." The third commandment. Verse 7, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." The fourth commandment. Verses 8-11, "Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates." 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The fifth commandment. Verse 12, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." The sixth commandment. Verse 13, "You shall not murder." The seventh commandment. Verse 14, "You shall not commit adultery." The eighth commandment. Verse 15, "You shall not steal." The ninth commandment. Verse 16, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." The tenth commandment. Verse 17, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." Perhaps take some time to think about how you could apply these commandments. For example, the second commandment tells us not to bow down to anything made. Some people actually set up statues or pictures and kneel before them. It says we are not to make anything and bow down to it. Some people tell me that they are praying to God when they do this. God says not to do it. Some denominations change this commandment to reflect their wrong beliefs. How do you honor your parents? I would listen to my parents and respect them even as an adult. You can always weigh what they have to say. When I was in Jewish neighborhoods, sometimes an elderly man would walk up to me and give me advice. I would respectfully listen to them. That is something that Jewish people do for their young generation. They were someone's parent. I gave them honor and respect. Even though these laws seem self-explanatory, in Jewish thought, there are many valid ways that we can apply God's commandments without making up extra commandments. Not using God's name in vain has to do with not using God's name inappropriately. Hashem means, the name, that is how some people address God. Would you call someone you respect, the name? That is inappropriate. Saying God's name, Yehovah, honors him. The Bible says not to steal, I will not even take a pen that is not mine. Didn't Yeshua say that those who are faithful in the little things are also faithful in much? See Luke 16:10? Look for ways you can be faithful. Notice how the commandment to keep the Sabbath quotes Genesis 2:2-3, so people who say God's commandments or the Saturday Sabbath are just for Israel are wrong. They are God's commandments. Why would something that God gave us not be good for us in our time as well? Those who say God's commandments are done away with are deluded. I would not want to stand before God and tell God I did not agree with him. I do not think you will win that debate. The people experienced all that was going on at the foot of Mount Sinai and they were afraid, so they asked Moshe to speak to God for them. Moshe approaches the thick darkness while the people stood back. God tells Moshe that the people are not to make any idols and that they are to make an altar of earth or of uncut stone and also not build steps up to the altar so no one will be indecent. They are to make their offerings at the place where God chooses. This portion begins with Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, coming to see Moshe. He was a Gentile priest of Midian where they practiced idolatry and some despicable practices associated with idolatry. Yitro believes in the God of Israel and is fully accepted among the Israeli leadership. We should remember that it was always God's intention that the nations should believe in the true God through Israel. Israel was unable to accomplish that until the coming of the Jewish Messiah Yeshua, who has spread the message of the true God, the teachings of the Torah, and the messianic message of Yeshua around the world. The symbolic teaching about Israel at Mount Sinai. In this portion, God promises that he will make Israel a holy nation and the people respond that they will do what God tells them to do. We could liken the account to a marriage ceremony between God and Israel where God enters into a relationship with them as their husband, see Isaiah 54:5. Mount Sinai acted as the huppah, canopy, and the Ten Commands as the marriage contract. The Jewish writings say that it had rained so that the desert was in bloom and Israel was surrounded by flowers. The giving of the Ten Commandments occurred on Shavuot and the giving of the Holy Spirit also occurred on Shavuot. There is thunder and lightning, a thick smoke, and a shofar that kept getting louder and louder. Perhaps Yeshua was blowing the shofar. The people were afraid and so God allows Moshe to speak for the people. Moshe becomes an advocate who speaks on behalf of the people just like the Messiah Yeshua is our advocate that speaks on our behalf, see 1 John 2:10. Although the Ten Commandments are important, it should be remembered there are other commandments that are also important that we should keep. The Haftorah for Yitro is Isaiah 6:1-7-6, 9-5-6. Isaiah had just written a prophetic song about Israel's demise. Then, this portion begins with the Lord of hosts, which is implying warfare, sitting on his throne with seraphs worshiping God and saying, "Holy, holy, holy." It says that the doorposts shook, and the house, referring to the heavenly temple, kept filling with smoke. The heavenly vision reminds us of Israel's encounter with God at Mount Sinai. In this portion, God is sitting, which is an attribute of a man. So, Isaiah probably sees God in the shape of a man just like Ezekiel did in one of his visions. Isaiah is sent to Israel even though they will not hear and will not repent. Isaiah is told by God to say to Ahaz to not be afraid, the invaders this time will not succeed against Judah. Also, Isaiah 9:5-6 is part of this portion which prophetically talks about the coming of God as king. The attributes in these scriptures can only be attributed to God. Israel's mission was to bring the true God to the entire world. That has been accomplished in part through God coming as a man in the person of the Jewish Messiah Yeshua. Someday Yeshua will return and complete his mission and establish peace and his kingdom forever. In the present, Yeshua gives those who believe in him personal peace through the Holy Spirit. All the millions of those who have the Holy Spirit can have the peace that Yeshua gives. Isaiah 9:5-6 CJB is about the Messiah. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, dominion will rest on his shoulders, and he will be given the name, Wonder of a Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace, in order to extend the dominion and perpetuate the peace of the throne and kingdom of David, to secure it and sustain it through justice and righteousness henceforth and forever. The zeal of Adonai Tzvaot, Yehovah of hosts, will accomplish this. Adonai in all caps is Yehovah, God's real name. Our ancestors experienced the awesome power of God at Mount Sinai so that they trembled. Through our Messiah Yeshua, we have been made part of a heavenly community, and as we talked about earlier, we need to take that seriously. Hebrews 12:22-25 CJB says, You have come to Mount Zion, that is, the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels in festive assembly, to a community of the firstborn whose names have been recorded in heaven, to a judge who is God of everyone, to spirits of righteous people who have been brought to the goal, to the mediator of a new covenant, Yeshua, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you don't reject the one speaking. For if those did not escape who rejected him when he gave divine warning on earth, think how much less we will escape if we turn away from him when he warns from heaven. We now begin our section on commandments, implied commandments, permissions, and other concepts. We can also understand commandments are being implied from other scriptures in the Bible. There are other possible concepts than what is shared here. Remember, the word Lord in all capital letter is God's name Yehovah, that is his name forever according to Exodus 3:15. The Ten Commandments from Exodus 21-18 NKJV. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. More commandments. Do not make any representation of God. You shall not make anything to be with me gods of silver or gods of gold you shall not make for yourselves. Exodus 20:23. An altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. Exodus 20:24. In every place where I record my name I will come to you, and I will bless you. Exodus 20:24. And if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone, for if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. Exodus 20:25. We are to practice modesty, especially at God's altar and at our meetings. Nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. Exodus 20:26. In closing, let us say the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:24-26. Yehovah bless you and keep you. Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yehovah lift up his face upon you, and give to you peace. Amen. Thank you for being with us today.